Tonight being the last service of 2014, I decided to do a lesson as it has to do with the year 2015. And I invite your attention to turn to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And I'm calling this 15 Scriptures for 2015. If you were to get a list in your mind of important passages in the Bible, maybe they might be your favorite passages, maybe a few of them are, and certain others you sort of add to the list. I'm sure our list probably would change. Maybe some of the verses would overlap. But it's important to know that if you hide the Word of God in your heart, it does keep one from sinning. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 11. And many other verses that have to do with the importance of the Word of God. Man does not live by bread only, by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4 from Deuteronomy 8:3. But I want us to read these verses and understand the fact that this is a father talking to his son. In our case, it would be God our Father talking to his children. And what he wants us to know, as Solomon was writing to his son, "My son, if you will receive my words, and hide my commandment with thee, so that thine incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then," verse 5, "then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. If you hear my words, give heed to my understanding, to my instruction. If you incline your ear and apply your heart." So what he's addressing here is, there are words that I'm going to give you that didn't originate with me. There are God's words to you. And if you will listen, and if you will apply, then you will know the fear of the Lord and have an understanding of the knowledge of God. Obviously, it takes an understanding of the Bible to know God and to draw close to God, and application of that is important. So when you talk about lists, the Bible gives an emphasis of certain things it has to do with numbers. And I don't know if you like lists or not. I know certain engineers that I've talked to like lists, and if you give things in a list, they sort of can relate to that. That's how they operate on a day-to-day basis. Proverbs 6, verse 16 talks about there are six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination. And Amos 1 and verse 3 and following, all the way into chapter 2, it says, "For three transgressions," in that verse of, "For three transgressions of Damascus, yea, for four," and then it gives the ideas of why this particular nation is going to be destroyed. All the way to three transgressions of Judah, yea, for four. And then in Acts 1:26, it says that when Matthias was actually selected by God in the casting of the lots, it says he was numbered with the 11. There's also another verse I didn't put on this slide that has to do with the fact that Jesus was numbered with the transgressors, which was a prophecy from Isaiah 53, denoting he would be in the list that the Roman government would keep of all who were transgressors and therefore criminals. So he's listed in all those that are listed as criminals by the Roman government, as it were. Well, so the Bible has to do with lists, it has to do with numbers and so forth. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at 15 verses, not single verses. Some of them are in groups, but verses that I thought would be a very important, and obviously we're counting backwards. That doesn't necessarily mean that number one is number one, or number two is number two, or number three, and number 15 is of lesser importance than any other. It's just, these are the verses that I was thinking of this week that would apply. If I could just center my life around these kinds of thoughts, how much better my year would be. Actually, how much better my year would start. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Obviously, in the context of Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will guide thy paths." How important is that? Not just to hear that and to read that, but to apply that. Don't trust in your own thinking. Don't trust in the thinking of men. Trust in what God tells you, and in all your ways he will guide you. Now, number 14, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no wisdom. There's no work. There is no wisdom. There is no knowledge in the grave wherein you are going or wherein it leads you. So, what you put your hand to do that's with righteous work with God, do it with all your might. How important it is to apply that in everyday walk of life. Number 13. This one maybe not as familiar as some of the others. Psalm 139. Last two verses of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And keep me from every wicked way. And lead me in the way of life. In other words, help me to know myself. Try me, search me, help me to know myself so that truly I can avoid one way of life and stay on the right path. Okay? A lot of times self-deception is a major problem in life. Look at number 12, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. All these what? Material things, things that take care of life. So don't concentrate so much as supremely important the material things of life, concentrate on what is the kingdom and what is God's righteousness. That's first priority. And all other priorities take second, third, fourth, fifth place. Number 11, Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Obviously, we can have a knowledge of the Bible and seek to apply that. And seeking first the kingdom, search me, O God, know my thoughts, my ways, show me the way to go. And yet the bottom line is we're going to have struggles. Christian life is not going to be a life of ease. It's going to be a life that has struggles in it. So what I do? Be anxious, be careful for nothing. But in everything, whatever it be good or evil, put your request before God. Number 10, Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. One translation says, for out of it springs are the springs of life. Meaning everything comes out of what goes on up here. Attitudes, having the right attitude of mind. And Solomon is addressing that. Every action comes from an evil thought. And the process that goes with that. Number 9, James 1, 21 and 22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In other words, there's a course of life I'm not to follow. Put away all filthiness, all superlatives of naughtiness, wickedness, what the world says is righteousness, but God says is unrighteous, and receive with meekness, with calmness, with gentleness, this word, as it were, grafted in. I know Brother Tony Kai is right now with the burn. They're doing skin grafts, right? When they pull this dead skin out, they put skin graft. Is it important for that to graft in a skin graft? As it were, becomes your own body, doesn't it? So you take this word and engraft it in, this word that saves the soul. And don't be a hearer of it, but be a doer of it. Number 8, Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 1 to 3. Wherefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression, every disobedience of the law, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken unto us and was affirmed to us by the words of the Lord? So the emphasis is what? If I'm not careful, I can end up like that generation that came out of Egypt in Hebrews 3, that they died in the wilderness because of unbelief. Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them drift. By the way, drifting is the danger of the Christian life. Drifting, slip, not holding on to it, not paying attention, not giving attention to. Okay? Number 7, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Talking about all those who walking by faith, those that died by faith or died in faith, Hebrews 11:13 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. In other words, they ran the race, they crossed their finish line. We're in our race, let's cross our finish line. Who's our model? Ultimate model is not Abraham. Abraham had a model. Ultimate model is not Noah. Noah had a model. The ultimate model was the Messiah, the one who sits at the right hand of God. Number 6, Proverbs 13 and verse 20, where it talks about the emphasis of being a part of those who win souls. And he that wins souls is wise. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. I think that's Proverbs 13:20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. A lot of that has to do with who you have as close friends and companions. You ever thought about some of the people that we choose to be around? I'm not talking about how people that we may have to be around, like at work or school or whatever, who we choose to be around. Will their influence rub off on us? He that walks with wise men shall be wise. But what about a companion of those that don't want to do right, a companion of fools? He'll be destroyed. Then here's the one I was thinking a while ago, Proverbs 11 and verse 30. It talks about the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that wins souls is wise. In other words, what is the work of a person who's trying to do what's right? I'm trying to influence others so that they'll apply right and therefore win their soul before God. Number 4, Acts 20 and verse 35. I was thinking about this as I was looking at an excerpt out of a biography that I'm reading right now on Barton W. Stone. Barton W. Stone preached for the last time at the congregation he had preached for over 40 years of what's called Keene Ridge, Kentucky. And they ask him in his latter days, as a matter of fact, the very, very last days of his life before he died in Hannibal, Missouri, at his son-in-law's home or his daughter's home. And they ask him to preach one last time. He was paralyzed. He had had a stroke. And the topic and the section of the Bible that he used to preach from was Acts 20. When Paul told the elders at Ephesus, "You will see my face no more." And Stone mentioned this verse. This was on my mind in reading that. I thought, that's a great passage where Paul is about to leave these brethren. And he basically says, "I have showed you all things," and emphasizing how that you ought to support the weak. In other words, take care of those that are the weak. And how did you remember the words of the Lord Jesus? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And they knew that in the work that he was doing with them, and surely that would be a blessing to you and to me. Chapter number 3 is 2 Timothy 1:12. I mentioned this morning, "For the which cause I'm not ashamed. I suffer these things. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded he is able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day." And number 2, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 8. It's one of my favorite sections in the Old Testament as you get into the general epistles. "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. Why? If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge," the full knowledge, epigenosis, "the full knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ." So if I really want to know the Lord, as sometimes is often used in circles, to know the Lord is what? Take my faith, add all these qualities, apply these qualities to life. Now I will come to know God. Now what do you think I put as number 1 or the last one? The one our Lord would put, I believe. Jesus was asked the question, "What's the greatest command?" And in verse 37, Jesus says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Thought about putting 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3 there, but that's the words of the Lord right there, while 1 Corinthians 13 is also our Lord's words through an apostle. What do you have in life if you don't have the love of God? The love of God actually is the background to every verse I've already put up on that screen and more beyond. For neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that works by love. Those three qualities are the heart of the Christian life. A faith that works by love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. That's not the last verse. This is the last verse. When you're talking about love, you're looking at a statement like Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15. In John 14, 15, Jesus is talking to the apostles the very night he's about to be tried, the next day to be crucified. What would you say to a group of people if you knew this was your last night to make a major impression on them, as it were, before you die? Of course, we know 3 days later he's going to be raised from the dead. They're going to see him a few more days. He's going to ascend on high. But what would you say? Which, by the way, while Jesus got another opportunity to be on the earth and do more work, when we die, that's our last opportunity. Now our works do follow us, Revelation 14, verse 13 says. We do rest from our labors, and our works do follow. Jesus turned to the apostles, and he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I looked up in my Greek New Testament, John 14, verse 15, and the word "keep" there is in future tense. Future tense, not present tense. And it literally means, if you right now do love me, you shall keep my commandments. That's a marvelous point to think about. Jesus is driving home to these men. There's going to come a time when your love is going to be challenged to me. By the way, Peter learned that lesson the hard way, right? Judas Iscariot made the ultimate blunder as far as love is concerned. All the disciples, as a matter of fact, are going to depart from Jesus. If you love me, the word "if" is conditional. If you truly, deep down inside, agape me, that's the word he used, agape. Selfishness? No. Unselfish love. Concern for me and my work, he would say to his disciples, then you shall. I'm asking you to do something. Not just now. I'm asking you to do this as a consequence of what you shall do from now on. Love shall keep the commandments. Now, that's not 15 verses. It's more than 15 verses. But of all these verses, it comes right down to the summary of all the commands hang on to love God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. All the commandments, all passages of the Bible hang on those two passages. So, how do you get a person to obey the gospel? You teach them about the love of God. You teach them what God did to demonstrate His love and the sacrifice of Christ. You teach a person that they don't deserve any of the love that God has ever demonstrated, and pull at the heartstring. In Romans 5 and verse 8, Paul said, God commends His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. What's He doing? He's pulling at the heartstring. You don't force a person into obeying the gospel, and technically you don't even scare them into obeying the gospel. Fear is short-lived, but love conquers everything. A faith that is the victory, a love that profits, is a faith that works out of that kind of motivation. How do you get a person who's a child of God to keep on staying a child of God and be a dedicated child of God? Love God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. That'll take care of the rest. How do you get a person to want to be around his brethren? Even want to be around his enemies in the sense of wanting to see to their good. Love your neighbor as yourself. The quality of life that goes with that is obviously astonishing. As a matter of fact, I think you and I, you're children of God, you understand the concept that there are blessings that come from verses like this. Now, maybe you thought of some of these verses, maybe you didn't. But I hope tonight, being the last sermon of this particular year, that as we move forward in the year 2015, come up with your own list maybe a weekly list, maybe 52. I don't know if you're making New Year's resolutions or what, but the fact of the matter is, there are verses in the Bible that are practical in their nature, and they will bless us in every way possible. If you're here tonight, as we're going to have given the invitation song, Kevin's going to lead us. If you're subject to the invitation, Tim, Larry, and I are here to assist you. Won't you come while together we stand in